طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is going to be our 23rd session, reading from lessons in Arabic language, level 4, Dr. Fa Abdurrahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. And today in this 23rd session, we hope by the permission of Allah to complete lesson 25. And also I just want to note before we begin that even though we are beginning at our regular time at 3:15, the time for this session for the next weeks or months will be extended instead of 4:30 to 4:45, since the time for us is getting a little bit later, so we can get back the extra 15 minutes, making the total time for the session to be 1 hour and 30 minutes or hour and a half. So today, inshallah, the time period, and for the next weeks, inshallah, and months, will be time from 3:15 to 4:45. And today, inshallah, from the homework assignments, we know that what we intend to do is have a quick review of the English key, points 1 through 7 on pages 110 to 115. And then we'll pick up where we left off with the exercises at exercise number 5 on page 214 and 215, the particle liqay, and then idhan, and past tense verbs, and waw al-hal with the jumla fi'liya, and the four meanings of the verb ja'ala, and the remaining exercises. So, the exercises that we have remaining are going to be starting with exercise number 5, page 214, and we're going to go through exercise number 16 on page 219, and the brief discussion of the nawasib of the fi'l al-mudari, which are four particles, yani an, walan, wakay, wa idhan. Alright, so today, inshallah, we're going to have a quick review of the English key, and then we'll start with exercise number 5 on page 214. So, from the English key, I just want to mention, there are 7 points. The first point is the core of the lesson. We won't be looking at that today. The exercises that we have done up until now deal with that, and that is the bab istafa'ala. Bab istafa'ala, like istaghfara, istayqadha, istalqa, and so on. So this is the last of the thulathi mazid verbs, yani the 10th form in the dictionary, istafa'ala. The present tense form is yastafa'ilu, yani استغفر يستغفر. The fi'l amr is استفعل يعني استغفر, and so on like this. The masdar is on the pattern of استفعال, استفعال like استغفار, استشار, استلقاء, and so on. The ism fa'al and ism maf'ul is, as we have seen previously, yani the middle radical next to the last radical takes kasra for the ism fa'il and takes fatha for the ism maf'ul. So for example, with kasra, ism fa'il, mustaghfirun, one who seeks pardon, and with fatha, mustaghfara, yani ism maf'ul, one whose forgiveness is sought. The noun of place and time, yani, is mustafa'ala, just like the ism maf'ul. And they gave us a few examples, yani mustaqbal, yani which is yani ism zaman, mustawsaf, and mustashfa, ism makan. We also mentioned that this bab signifies, among other things, the meaning of seeking something, yani seeking forgiveness, seeking food, seeking guidance, and so on. And it has other meanings as well. From amongst its meanings is to judge or to consider something, to regard it as being good, as in istahsana, yani from hasuna, to think, to consider something to be good. The second point of the English key is the particle. The word k is an infinitive particle, yani harf masdariya. So, yani it is commonly used with lam, yani lam al-ta'lil, as in likay, yani adrusu al-lughat al-arabiyya likay afham al-Qur'an al-karima, yani I am studying Arabic language لِكَيْ أَفْحَمَ الْقُرْآنِ, so that I may understand the Qur'an. It's called حَرْف مَسْدَرِيَة because when it's used with the مُضَارِي verb, يعني it renders, it has the meaning of the master. So for example, لِكَيْ أَفْحَمَ الْقُرْآنِ, the meaning with the master will be لِفَهْمِ الْقُرْآنِ. So that's why it's called مَسْدَرِيَة. And it's also harf nasb because it makes the mudari verb mansub. The lam at ta'lil is prefixed to it, which may sometimes be omitted. Yani likay, sometimes the lam at ta'lil is omitted from it. And this lam at ta'lil is mentioned in book 2, lesson 17. So sometimes it's without lam at ta'lil. So for example, you can say kay nusabbihaka kathiran, so that we may glorify you much, as mentioned in the Quran 20th surah, 33rd ayat. Yani, so it may come K by itself, or it may come with lam ta'lil li K, and sometimes it's also attached as a suffix to it, la and nafia. So you say li K la, for example, it's used like that as well. In that case, the la and nafia is going to be attached to it as though it is one word. The third point of the English key is the particle idhan. It's another particle of nasb, harf and nasb, but this one is not masdariya, yani it's what is called, yani what is known as harf al-jawab wal-jaza, yani replying, yani it's in reply to something. Okay, idhan is another particle of nasb. It precedes the mudari and renders it mansub, so it also makes the mudari verb mansub, and it means in that case. It is used only in reply to a statement. If somebody says something and you reply to them, you say, in that case, I will do such and such and so. Note that the verb after idhan is mansub. That's why it's called harf nasb. But it renders the verb mansub only with the following three conditions. Only when the following three conditions are met. That is, idhan should be at the beginning of the sentence and should not be preceded by any other word. Secondly, the verb should immediately follow it. Follow idhan. Idhan should immediately be followed by the verb that is going to make mansub. The exception to that is that la nafia, or an oath, is permitted to come in between idhan and the verb. Otherwise, nothing else should come in between it. The verb should follow immediately, and the meaning of the verb should be a meaning indicating the future. Alright, so if these three conditions are not met, then it will not make the mudari verb mansub, rather it will remain marfu'. The fourth point of this lesson is that we have seen that the verb in the madi is negated by ma and nafiya. But if we negate two verbs in the madi together, we use la and nafiya. And they gave some examples of this. The fifth point, and we'll see it in the exercises today, the fifth point is waw al-hal. We have seen previously waw al-hal prefixed to a nominal sentence, yani jumla ismiya, in lesson 2, pages 14 and 15. We've seen that previously. In this lesson, though, we will see that it can also be prefixed to a verbal sentence with the verb in the madi, a verbal sentence and a past tense verb that will be preceded by yani qad, yani waw al-hal, followed by qad, followed by a verbal sentence, its verb being a past tense verb. And we'll see that in the lesson today. The sixth matter, which is quite involved, and I hope that everybody has read it carefully, and this is not the first time we had a chance to review this point, is the verb ja'ala, that it has four meanings. The first of them, to make something, yani the meaning of tahwil, to cause something to be or become something else, to transform it into something else. Yani the meaning of at-tahwil, or the meaning of the verb sayyara, sayyara with sad, to cause something to become, yani to change its condition. And they gave us examples here for that. The second meaning is to think or to deem something, yani this has the meaning of rajhan, to think it to be that way, but not to be certain. Yani to deem, to consider it to be that way, but not to be certain. these two first two meanings, yani tahwil and rujhan, are from akhwatu dhanna, that is, that they are used like dhanna, yani where they have two objects, the first and those two objects originally being a mubtada and a khabar. Okay, so this meaning, the meaning of ja'ala to mean tahwil, to cause something to transform into a different condition, or the meaning of rajhan, to think something to be a certain way, to consider it like that, though not being certain. Both of them have two objects, which those two objects are originally a mubtada and a khabar. The third meaning is to make something, to originate it, to bring it into existence. The meaning of awjada, to bring something into existence. In this meaning, it takes only one maf'ul, one object. And the fourth meaning is to begin to do something. In this sense, it acts like kana, that is, it has an ism and a khabar, except that its khabar is going to be a verbal sentence with a mudari verb. Verbal sentence, the khabar is going to be a verbal sentence, and its verb is going to be a mudari verb. So these are the four meanings: to transform something from one condition to another, to think or to consider something. Both of these have two objects: to bring something into existence, to originate it, yani awjada, something with one object, or to begin to do something, to start doing something, yani in which case it's used like kana, it has an ism and it has a khabar, except that its khabar is going to be a verbal sentence with a mudari verb. And the last point of this lesson is the plural of mashin, which means a walker or a pedestrian, is mushatun. It is on the pattern of fu'alatun. And they gave us examples, and we'll see those in the exercises today. And the last thing in the English key is the nawasib of the mudari, and we're going to look at that today. Yani the particles that change the mudari verb to mansub are called nawasib al-fi'l. And these are four, and we have learned them all either previously or in this lesson, and they are n, which is an infinitive particle, yani harf masdariya, infinitive particle that changes the mudari verb to mansub, so it's also nasb, and it denotes futurity, so it's also istiqbal. All of these four particles are nasb and istiqbal, that is, they make the mudari verb mansub, and they indicate a future meaning. Okay, but other than that, they differ in that N is a harf masdariya, infinitive particle, and K is also a harf masdariya, an infinitive particle, whereas len is a harf nafyi, a particle of negation, and even is a harf, yani jawab wa jaza, yani an answering particle. Otherwise, all of them are nasb, make the mudari verb mansub, and all of them have the meaning of istiqbal, future meaning. And this is a brief and summary of what we covered in the English key. Now, that being said, we're going to go to the exercises. And again, the exercises are primarily dealing with all of the things in this lesson, except the first point, that is, the bab, yani the bab istafala. Other than the bab istafala, the thulathi mazid, bab istafala, the rest of the things that are in the English key we're going to be dealing with, and here in this, in the remaining exercises. Now, alright, so we're going to go to page 214, and we're going to start with exercise number 5, bottom half of the page, which has this statement. Exercise number 5, it says, استلقيتُ على قفايا لكي أستريح. يعني I lay down on my back. لكي, for the purpose of resting. أستريح. يعني استراحة يستريح أنا أستريح. لكي أستريح. Notice that أستريح is منسوب with فتح because K is a particle of نصب. So it says here K من نواسب المضارع. It is from those things that make the mudari verb mansub. وَيُسَمَّ حَرْف مَسْدَرِيَّ وَنَصْبٍ وَإِسْتِقْبَالٍ. Yani it is called حَرْف مَسْدَرِيَّةٍ, a particle of, yani infinitive particle. وَنَصْبٍ, yani it makes the mudari verb mansub. وَإِسْتِقْبَالٍ, and it has the meaning of future. يُسَمَّ حَرْفَ مَصْدَرِيَّةٍ وَنَصْبٍ وَاسْتِقْبَالٍ لِأَنَّهَا تَجْعَلُ مَا بَعْدَهَا فِي تَهْوِيلٍ مَصْدَرٍ. Because it makes whatever comes after it, يعني the verb after it, is transformed in meaning to the meaning of the infinitive, the masdar. So K and the mudari verb together have the meaning of a masdar. That's why it's called harf masdariyatin. So ta'wil al-mithal al-sabiq. So the example that they gave us, yani istalqaytu ala qafaya li k astariha. Yani if we transform the particle likay with the mudari verb astariha to a masdar, it becomes istalqaytu ala qafaya listirahati. Yani instead of li kay astari, we just have li istirahati. Yani the masdar istiraha is replacing k and the mudari verb astariha. Alright, so that's the meaning of harf mastariya, that the particle k and the mudari verb is having the meaning, or it can be yani exchanged for the meaning of the masdar itself. Yani in this case, k astariha is exchanged with the masdar istiraha. Naam. والغالب أن تسبقها لام الجر التي تفيد التعليل. And mostly, it is most common that this particle K is preceded by lam al-jar, by the preposition, the lam that is a preposition, التي تفيد التعليل, which gives us the meaning of تعليل, yani the reason why something is done. That's why it's known as lam al-ta'liil. Lam al-ta'liil. Yani it's a preposition, but in this particular case, the preposition that's intended here is the lam that has the meaning of ta'liil, known as lam al-ta'liil. فَإِن لَمْ تَسْبِقْهَا فَهِيَ مُقَدَّرَةٌ. And if lam al-ta'liil does not precede it, is not attached to the k, if it's not preceding it, then it is understood, yani, to be there. Yani, muqaddara. It's understood to be there, even if it's not written. So it still has that meaning, even if we don't write the lam. إذا دخلت لا نافية على فعل قتبت متصلة بك. For example, لكي لا. So here it's also saying, إذا دخلت لا نافية. If لا نافية is used with likay, if la nafiya is used to negate the verb, then the la nafiya is written attached, connected to k, yani likay la, yani it's written as though it's one word. If la nafiya is used to negate the verb, then it's written attached to likay. So, for example, they gave us asrih, hasten, hurry up, لكي لا تتأخر, لكي لا تتأخر عن الدرس, so that you will not be late for the lesson. يعني hurry up, hasten, so that لكي لا, so that you will not تتأخر, so that you will not be late عن الدرس, يعني for the lesson. All right. So basically, what is being said here is that K is a harf masdariya, yani it and the verb that follows it can be converted to the masdar. It's usually preceded by li, which is lam al-ta'liil. If lam al-ta'liil is not attached to it, it's understood to have the meaning of that. And it also may have, following it, attached to it, la nafiya, if la nafiya is needed to negate the verb that follows K. All right. Turn to page 215 at the top of the page. It says تأمل الأمثلة الآتية لي, يعني reflect upon, examine carefully and study the following examples for لكي. Following examples for لكي. So they give us يعني ألف با جيم دال and ها. Aleph, Ba, Jim, Del, and Ha. These are examples of Likay. And each of these examples is giving us some idea of what we discussed in the explanation of this particle. We might see Likay with Lam Ta'lil, we see K without Lam Ta'lil, we have Likay with La Nafia, and we have Likay without La Nafia, and we have so there are different examples here where we'll see K with Lam Ta'lil or without it, with Lam Ta'lil and La Nafia, and so on. Alright, so the first example is التحقت بالجامعة الإسلامية لكي أتعلم اللغة العربية وعلوم الدين. التحقت بالجامعة الإسلامية I was accepted and joined the Islamic University of Medina لكي أتعلم, so that I may learn. Here we see أتعلم being منصوب with فتح. اللغة العربية, اللغة is مفعول به منصوب, and العربية is a not describing it, so it's also منصوب. وعلوم is معتوف منصوب, الدين is مضاف إليه مجرور. I joined the Islamic University of Medina لكي أتعلم, so that I may learn. Here we see the لام التعليل being attached to K. Second example, we see the K without لام التعليل. باء, it says اجتهد كي تنجح, work hard, strive, be diligent, so that you will pass. Here we see that the meaning of the Lam Ta'lil is here, so that, Ta'lil, but without it being mentioned, it's understood. Kay Tanjaha, but the Mudari verb is Mansub in any case, from Kay. Jim, the third example, Qala Ahmadu لأخته. Ahmed said to his sister, ابحثي عن هذا الكتاب في مكتب كليتك. Stop. Search for this book in the library of your college, in the library of your kulliyah. Then he says, اكتبي اسمه لكي لا تنسي. لكي لا تنسي, write, اكتبي, write his name or its name, the name of this book. اكتب, اكتبي اسمه, write its name. لكي لا, so that you will not تنسي, so that you will not forget it. لكي لا تنسي, تنسي here is منصوب because of K, and the sign that is منصوب is حذف النون. The original form of this verb, anti tensayna, because it's mansub, the sign of being mansub is حذف النون. لكي لا تنسي, so that you will not forget. Del, the next example is لكي without لا. Here we have in the third example we had لكي لا, لا نافية being attached to لكي. Here we have لكي without لا. ذهب زملائي إلى السوق لكي يشتروا الحوائج. My classmates went to the market لكي, so that, for the purpose of, here we see it without لا نافية but with لام التعليل, لكي يشتروا الحوائج, so that you will so that they would purchase الحوائج, their needs, to purchase their needs. And again the verb yashtarau, it's mansub, the sign of being mansub is the hadf and noon, the omission of the noon. And the last example they gave us is asri'u likay la tafutana at-ta'iratu, hurry up you all, likay la tafutana الطائرة, so that the ta'ira, the plane, will not pass us by, so that we will not miss the plane. And here we see K with being prefixed with lam ta'lil and suffixed with la nafiyah, so all of them coming together written like one word, asri'u likay la tafutana. Here we see the verb tafuta mansub with fatta because of K. and a ta'iratu is the fa'il marfu'un with dhamma. Okay, then it says sugh fil faragi fi, I'm sorry, da'a, that's dahad ayn. I thought that was, it looked like it was, okay, da'a. Da'a, yani from wada'a, to put. Da'a fil faragi fi ma ya'ati likay or likay la. Yani, put in the empty spaces that follows, either likay or likay la. Yani, negating the verb that follows. Yani, if we use it with la. ثم عدل الفعل الذي يليه. And then adjust the verb which follows it. Yani, because of likay. When you use likay, then the verb is going to become mansub. So we have to modify or adjust the verb after the use of likay. Alright, so they give us five sentences here. The first one, اتصل كثير من الشباب بالجامعة. Many of the young people, كثير من الشباب, اتصل, called, يعني made phone calls, بالجامعة, to the university, so that, يعني for the purpose of asking about the شروط of قبول. What are the conditions, the prerequisites for being accepted to the university? So here we want to use the word لكي, يعني without لا. اتصل كثير من الشباب بالجامعة لكي يستفسروا. يعني originally the word here was يستفسرون, but here after لكي it became منسوب. The sign of it being منسوب is the حذف, يعني the omission of the noon. لكي يستفسروا. يعني when the noon is deleted, you should put an alif there, يعني to stop the verb there. يعني يستفسروا عن شروط القبول, to ask about the preconditions or the requisites, requirements of acceptance. Number two, كان موعد الرحلة الساعة الثالثة صباحا. يعني the موعد, the appointed time for the trip, the journey, the رحلة, was 3 o'clock in the morning. الساعة الثالثة صباحا, 3 o'clock in the morning, يعني before فجر. فجلسنا نتحدث, so we sat and talked. لكي لا تنام, يعني the original verb was لكي لا ننام. The original verb was ننام, but after لكي لا became ننام. لكي لا ننام, we sat talking so that we would not fall asleep. ننام. Number three, منسوب الفتة. Number three, سألتك أسئلة كثيرة. I asked you many questions. لكي أفهم. يعني after لكي, the verb أفهم became أفهم منسوب الفتة. لكي أفهم المسألة جيدا. يعني I asked you many questions so that I can understand the issue well, to understand it well. Number four, يا جورجو. This person's name is English name George. Oh George, غير اسمك, change your name. لكي لا يظن, with فتح, change يظن to يظن. لكي لا يظن الناس أنك نصراني. Oh George, change your name so that the people will not, so that they will not, لكي لا يظن الناس, so that the people will not think that you are a Christian. Number five, يا زينب استيقظي مبكرا. يا او زينب, wake up. استيقظي مبكرا, early. لكي لا, so that you will not, تتأخري عن الدرس, so that you will not be late for the lesson. يعني the original verb is تتأخرين, يعني أنت تتأخرين, but it became منسوب because of K, so the sign of being منسوب is حذف النون. تتأخري عن الدرس. Okay, so this exercise number six, يعني is dealing with the particle K or لك, sometimes with لك لا if the verb is being negated, which is a particle of نصب, it makes the مضارع verb منسوب. is also a particle of masdariya, yani it is used with the meaning of the mudari verb with it, is transformed to the meaning of the masdar, and it's also, and it has the meaning, as the other particles of nas have the meaning of future. Okay, number six is idhan antaziraka. Idhan antaziraka. In that case, I will wait for you. Idhan is min nawasib al-mudari. It's from the things that make the mudari verb mansoob. وَتُسَمَّ حَرْفَ جَوَابٍ وَجَزَاءٍ وَنَسْبٍ وَاسْتِقْبَالٍ. And it is called حَرْف جَوَاب وَجَزَاء, yani the particle that's used to reply or to answer. And the particle of نَسْبٍ makes the مُضَارِ verb mansub, and the particle of استقبال, yani having the meaning of future. تَأَمَّلَ الْأَمْثِلَةَ الْآتِيَةَ تَفْهَمْ مَعَنَاهَا. Yani reflect upon the following examples and you will understand their meanings. Reflect upon the following examples, understand their meanings. Here we see tafham is majzoom with sukoon. That's because yani it is in response to the amr, yani talab. The talab, yani ta'ammali. Jawab al-talab is going to be majzoom. Okay, so let's look at first the original statement and then the use of idhan in reply. That's why it's called yani harf jawabin wa jazan, because it's used to answer something, to reply to something that was said before it. So the first one, Hamid says, Sa'azuruka al-yawma ba'da salat al-maghribi insha'allahu. I will visit you today after the sunset prayer, if Allah wills. سَأَزُورُكَ الْيَوْمَ بَعْدَ صَلَاةُ الْمَغْرِبِ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. Khalid says, إِذَنْ أَنْتَظِرَكَ. In that case, I will wait for you. In that case, I will wait for you. So here note that after إِذَنْ, إِذَنْ is the beginning of the sentence. That's the first condition. Second condition, it should be immediately followed by the verb. Third condition, the verb should have the meaning of future. So we see, antaziruka, I will wait for you, has the meaning of future. It's immediately following idhan, nothing in between them. And idhan begins the sentence. All of the conditions are met. So it makes the mudari verb here, mansub, antazira. Yani mansub with fatha. Turning to page 216, the teacher says, هَذَا أَحْسَنُ مُعْجَمٍ مَدْرَسِيٍ. مَدْرَسِيٍ, yani يعني the nasab from madrasa. هذا أحسن معجم مدرسي. This is the best يعني school dictionary for students. The tulab respond by saying إذن نشتريه. In that case, we will purchase it. Notice that إذن, it begins the sentence. It's immediately followed by the verb. The verb has the meaning of future and therefore became mansub. إذن نشتريه. نشتريه. Naam. The next example, Ali says, يصل أستاذنا غدا إلى المدينة المنورة أو النبوية إن شاء الله. يعني our أستاذ, our professor or teacher will arrive tomorrow to Medina إن شاء الله. The زملاؤه, his classmates say, إذن نستقبله في المطار. In that case, we will receive him in the airport. Here again, إذن is the beginning of the sentence, immediately followed by the verb. The verb has the meaning of future, and therefore it makes it mansub. إذن نستقبله, يعني mansub with fatha. إذن نستقبله في المطار. Then we will meet him, يعني we will make a reception for him in the airport. The last example, أخشى أن يطوى قيدك فإن غيابك كثير. I fear that your قيد, يعني your file or your folder will be rolled up, يعني will be closed, يعني you will be expelled, يعني dismissed from the studies. أخشى أن يطوى قيدك فإن غيابك كثير. For indeed, your absences are many. Hamid says, إذن لا أغيب في المستقبل إن شاء الله. In that case, I will not be absent in the future if Allah wills. Again, we see he then begins the sentence. La aghiba, yani aghiba is future meaning, but the verb is not immediately following idhan, and we said that that's a condition, the verb must immediately follow idhan with two exceptions, that if la is used, yani that's an exception, that it can be separated, yani it can be separated by la, or it can be separated by qasam, it can be separated by la, or it can be separated by a qasam. So in this particular case, we see that it is separated by la, yani the la of negation, la and nafiyah. He said, إذن لا أغيب, yani I will not. And he's negating that he will be absent anymore. He's saying, I will not be absent anymore in the future. And so it's permissible for the verb to be separated from إذن if it's negated, if it's separated by la, yani the la of negation, la nafiyah, or an oath, a qasam. Okay, after that, we continue with yani idhan, that is the points or the conditions of its use, and we have seen those conditions being fulfilled in the examples that they gave us, and we have also seen the exception of the verb being separated from idhan with la and nafiyah, that is permissible, as well as an oath. Okay, they didn't give us an example of that, but they gave us an example of an oath in the English key. If you go back to the English key, you'll see that there's an example of an oath separating إذن from the verb that follows it. Okay, it says here, تنسبوا إذن الفعل المضارع بالشروط الآتية. يعني that إذن makes the فعل مضارع منسوب with the following conditions. There are three conditions, and we have been discussing them in the previous examples. The first condition, alif, أن تكون متصدرة. يعني that إذن is متصدرة, meaning that the sentence begins with it. Yani the beginning of the sentence is with إذن. The second condition, أن تكون غير مفصولة عن الفعل, that it must not be separated from the verb. The verb must immediately follow it. That it must not be separated. غير مفصولة عن الفعل بغير قسم القسم ولا نافية. With the exception of, it can be separated, and it can't be separated except by al-qasam, except by an oath, or by la nafiya. Those are the exceptions. Otherwise, it must not be غير مفصولتٍ عن الفعل. It must not be separated from the verb. It must be, yani the verb must follow it immediately, unless it's separated by al-qasam, an oath, swearing, or la nafiya, as we saw in the last example that they gave us. The third condition, أن يكون زمن الفعل مستقبلا, that the time period of the verb be future. Yani must indicate a meaning of the future. So these are the three conditions, that the إذن must be متصدرة, yani must begin the sentence, and it must be غير مفصولة عن الفعل, it must not be separated from the verb except by القسم أو لا نافية. And the third condition, that the verb itself, its meaning must be مستقبل, future. Okay, then it says, هاتي ثلاثة أمثلة لإذن. Give three examples of إذن. Three examples of إذن. So one example, for example, Hamid says, سآتيك بعد العصر, إن شاء الله. I will come to you after Asr, inshallah. And his classmate says, إذن لا أخرج, then I will not go out. Yani I will wait for you to come to me after Asr. We see that. إذن لا أخرج, yani إذن begins the sentence. أخرج is a future meaning. And إذن is not separated from the verb except by لا نافية or an oath. So here it's separated by لا نافية, that's permissible. And so the mudari verb became mansub akhruja. The second example, الشيخ الحلالي عالم جليل ودروسه مفيدة. يعني الشيخ الحلالي, he is a noble scholar and his lessons are beneficial. The students say, إذن نَحْضُرَ دُرُوسَهُ. In that case, we will attend his lessons. Here, he then begins the sentence. It's not separated from the verb, and the verb has the meaning of future, and therefore it became mansub إِذَن نَحْضُرَ دُرُوسَهُ. Third example, سَأَنْتَقِلُ إِلَى بَيْتِ الْجَدِيدِ غَدًا إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. I will move on, I will move from the old house to my new house tomorrow, inshallah, if Allah wills. And the students say, إِذَن نُسَاعِدَكَ. In that case, we will assist you, we will help you, we will aid you. So we see here, إِذَن is the beginning of the sentence. It's not separated from the verb by anything. And the meaning of the verb is future meaning, نُسَاعِدَ, and therefore it's mansub with fatta, نُسَاعِدَ, نُسَاعِدَكَ. Number two says, يَقُولُ طَالِبٌ شَيْئًا. A student says something, وَيَرُدُّ عَلَيْهِ زَمِيلُهُ, and his classmate will respond to him or answer him, مُسْتَعَمِلًا إِذَن, using إِذَن. Yani, this is an oral exercise where a student says something, he would do something, and then another student responds, answering him with إِذَن. سَيَزُورُنَا الْمُدِيرُ, for example, the student says, سَيَزُورُنَا الْمُدِيرُ بَعْدَ أُسْبُوعٍ, the principal will visit us after 1 week. So one of the students replies on behalf of the others, إِذَن لَا نَغِيبُ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. In that case, we will not be absent on that day. We might be absent other days, but not on the day that the principal is visiting us. Here we see, إِذَن لَا نَغِيبَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ. إِذَن begins the sentence. It's not separated from the verb نَغِيب except by لَا نَافِيَ. And the meaning of the verb is future. Therefore, became mansub نَغِيبَ. Okay, that's the end of إِذَن. Very important to remember its three conditions and the exceptions to the condition of it not being mafsula, not being separated from the verb. The exception, except it's permissible to be separated by an oath, a qasam, wa la nafiyah. Exercise number 7 says, La istahmamtu, la istahmamtu, wa la aftartu. I didn't take a bath, nor did I take breakfast. إِذَا نُفِيَ الْمَاضِي بِلَا وَجَبَ تَكْرَارُهَا. Yani, if the past tense verb is negated with la instead of ma, وَجَبَ تَكْرَارُهَا, then it is obligatory that it must be repeated, that there must be a second past tense verb as well being negated. In other words, when two past tense verbs are negated, they can be negated with la instead of ma. But you cannot negate a past tense verb with la unless that you repeat that negation of another past tense verb along with it. So they gave us the example here, wafi at-tanzil, in that which has been revealed, that is the Quran, the revelation. We find in Surah Al-Qiyamah, 75th Surah, 31st Ayat, فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى. So he didn't believe, and he didn't testify to the صدق, the truthfulness of what was said, what was revealed. وَلَا صَلَّى, nor did he perform salat. So here we see the past tense verb صَدَّقَ and the past tense verb صَلَّى both being negated by La. The condition of negating the past tense verb with La is that it has to be negation of two past tense verbs. Then the exercise says, the last line on bottom of page 216, انفي الفعلين في كل جملة مما يأتي بلا. يعني negate the two verbs in each of the sentences from what follows. Negate the two verbs with La. Yani la nafiya instead of ma. And they gave us four sentences here. The first one, قرأت الدرس وكتبت قرأت الدرس وكتبتها. You read the lesson and you wrote it. Now we want to negate both verbs, قرأت and كتبت, with لا. So we say لا قرأت الدرس ولا كتبت. You didn't read the lesson and you did not write it. Number two, رأيته وكلمته. I saw him and I spoke to him. We want to negate both verbs, رأيت and كلمت. لا رأيته, I didn't see him, ولا كلمته, and I didn't speak to him. Number three, ضربني وضربته. He hit me and I hit him. Negate both verbs, ضرب, يعني ضرب and ضربت. لا ضربني, he didn't hit me, ولا ضربته, and I didn't hit him. Number four, أكلنا وشربنا, we ate and we drank. Negate both verbs. لا أكلنا ولا شربنا, we didn't eat and we didn't drink. Again, the rule here is that يعني if two past tense verbs are negated, they are negated with لا. But you must have يعني if you use لا to negate a past tense verb, you must repeat negation once again with another past tense verb. Okay, number eight is dealing with واو الحال, when it's used with a جملة فعلية whose verb is a past tense verb and it is affirmative, not negated, affirmative. It says الآن تأتي وقد انتهى الدرس. Now you're coming and the lesson has ended. You're coming now while the lesson has ended. So here we see واو الحال وقد انتهى الدرس. واو الحال يعني being used with a جملة فعلية. Previously we had it with a جملة اسمية. Now we have a جملة فعلية whose verb is a past tense verb and whose verb is affirmative, not negated, مثبت. It says here إذا دخلت واو الحال على جملة فعلية فعلها ماض مثبت دخلت معها قد. يعني if واو الحال is used with a جملة فعلية whose verb is a past tense verb that is affirmed, مثبت, not negated, a past tense verb that is affirmative, يعني stating something happened, not didn't happen. دخلت معها, then along with it comes قد. يعني along with واو الحال, when it's used with a past tense, when it's used with a جملة فعلية past tense verb that's affirmed, along with واو الحال comes the affirmation of the particle with that particle قد. Then it says, that's the rule. It says تأمل المثال, reflect upon the example, ثم أكمل الناقص, and then complete that which is يعني which is left out, which needs to be يعني added to complete it. A, what is intended here is change the جملة حالية. Change the جملة حالية in what follows from a جملة اسمية to a جملة فعلية. So they're going to give us a sentence يعني that has a جملة اسمية as the جملة حالية. جملة اسمية. They want you to change it from a جملة اسمية to a جملة فعلية with a past tense verb that is affirmative, and in that case it should be preceded with قد. We don't see قد with the جملة اسمية, but we see it with the جملة فعلية whose verb is a ماضي past tense verb and whose verb is مثبت, يعني it is affirmed, and therefore يعني we see along with the واو الحال the particle قد. Okay, so it said reflect upon the example and then complete the following. دخلت المسجد والإمام يسلم. دخلت المسجد والإمام يسلم. Here, دخلت المسجد is the main sentence. والإمام يسلم is the subordinate sentence. The جملة اسمية beginning with the اسم. And that جملة اسمية is the جملة حالية because it is preceded by واو الحال. Now they want to change the jumla fi'l, the jumla haliyah, from a jumla ismiyah to a jumla fi'liyah, a verbal sentence whose verb is a past tense verb which is affirmative, muthbat, and therefore it should be accompanied, the waw how should be accompanied by qad. Alright? دخلت المسجد والإمام يسلم. I entered the masjid while the imam was giving the salams. Yani he was making taslim, he was ending the prayer. So here the jumla haliya is الإمام يسلم. It's a jumla ismiya. Now if we go across, we see that they changed it from a jumla ismiya to a jumla fi'liya. دخلت المسجد وقد سلم الإمام. I entered the masjid while the condition of my entering was what? That the imam had made taslim. He had completed the prayer. Sallama al-imamu. And he said, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So they changed it from the imam was giving salams when I entered, to the imam had already given the salams. He had already made taslim. He had already completed the prayer. In the first case, it's the jumla haliyah is a jumla ismiyah wal-imamu yusallam. And in the second case, the jumla haliyya is a jumla fi'liyya. Yani, where the verb is a, and where the sentence begins with a fi'l, instead of beginning with a ism. In that case, the verb should be a past tense verb, and the waw al-haw should be accompanied by, or followed by, qad. Alright. They noted that in the first example, wal imamu yusallam is a jumla ismiyya. And in the second example, سلم الإمام is a جملة فعلية فعلها ماض مثبت. ماض مثبت. Alright, so please note the underline والإمام يسلم and وقد سلم الإمام. And both are sentences, جملة حالية, but one is a جملة اسمية and the second one is a جملة فعلية accompanied by, the واو accompanied by قد. Alright, so they gave us five sentences here. They gave us the first one, the jumla haliyah, and the following waw al-haw is a jumla ismiyah, beginning with a ism. And the one that they want us to write is going to be the jumla haliyah is going to be a jumla fi'liyah, yani beginning with a fi'l. Alright, number one, dakhaltu al-masjida wal-imamu yukabbiru. Dakaltu al-masjid wal-imamu yukabbiru. I entered the masjid while the imam was saying Allahu Akbar. Yukabbiru. He was saying Allahu Akbar. We're going to change it to the yani jumla fi'liya, whose verb is going to be a past tense verb and muthbit. Waqad. Yani dakaltu al-masjid waqad kabbara al-imamu. I entered the masjid and the imam had already said Allahu Akbar. He had already said takbir. Number two, dakhalna al-masjida wal-mu'adhinu yuqimu. We entered the masjid while the mu'adhin was saying the iqama. The mu'adhin yuqimu. He was saying the iqama. Change it. Dakhalna al-masjida waqad aqama al-mu'adhinu. Yani we entered the masjid while the condition of entering was that the muadhin had already said the iqama. Number three, wasalna al-madinata al-munawwarata wa al-madina al-nabawiyata wa shamsu taghrubu. We arrived at Medina while the sun was setting. Change it. Wasalna al-madina al-nabawiyata wa qad gharabat ash-shamsu. We entered al-madina, or we arrived at Medina while the sun and the condition was the sun had already set. وَقَدْ غَرَبَتِ الشَّمْسُ. Number four, وَصَلْتُ الْمَفَارَ وَالطَّائِرَةُ تَحْبِطُ. I arrived at the airport while the plane was descending, yani landing, تَحْبِطُ. It was coming down. Change it. وَصَلْتُ الْمَفَارَ وَقَدْ حَبَطَتْ الطَّائِرَةُ. I arrived at the airport and the condition was that the plane had already come down. It had already landed. Number five, دَخَلْتُ الْفَصْلَ والمدرس يشرح الدرس. I entered the classroom while the teacher was explaining the lesson. He was in the process of explaining the lesson. Change it. دخلت الفصل وقد شرح المدرس الدرس. I entered the classroom while the condition was that, the situation was that the teacher had already explained the lesson. Alright, so they said that there are two ways that this jumla haliya can be used, with waw al-hal plus a jumla ismiya. That's in the first example that they have given us. And then it may be used with waw al-hal plus qad plus al-jumla al-fi'liya, fi'luha madin muthbatun. Or it can be used, yani, waw al-hal followed by qad plus the jumla fi'liya. Instead of a jumla ismiya, can be a jumla fi'liya. Its verb will be a past tense verb, and its verb will be in the affirmative, not being negated. Okay, that's the end of the waw al-hal being used with the jumla fi'liya. Fi'luha madin muthbit, yani it should be used along with qad after the waw. Number 9. Exercise number 9 on the bottom of page 217. And here I just want to draw to our attention the importance of going back and looking at the English key that we looked at today in the beginning of this session, but going back and studying the English key along with the Arabic explanation of this point, this exercise number 9, which in the English key came point number 6, on almost the whole of page 113 and a little bit on the top of page 114. Page 113 and 114, the four meanings of the verb ja'ala. So please go back and look at the English key, yani, and compare the Arabic and the English, because some points may be made sometimes in the Arabic that are not mentioned in the English, and sometimes some points are mentioned in the English that are not mentioned in the Arabic. So to get the full meanings, please kind of study them together. Hopefully you've already done that, because any part of the homework for this week was to go back and read the English key. Point number, exercise number 9 says, وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا. Yani that Allah said, I have made it amongst you, yani oppressing one another, oppression, wrongdoing, injustice, whom? He said, وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا. I have made it as something forbidden amongst you, that you do not do injustice to one another. جَعَلَ هُنَا مِنْ أَفْعَالَ التَّحْوِيلِ. And here the verb ja'ala in this sentence is from the af'al tahwil, yani the verbs that mean to transform something, to cause something to be or become, yani to change it from one condition to another. Allah has made oppression, He has made it to be something haram. And He previously, these people considered it to be permissible. Islam came and Allah transformed it from that condition where they allowed oppression to being something haram. وَهِيَ بِمَانَ صَيَّرَ. Yani the meaning here of أَفْعَالَ التَّحْوِيلِ, it means صَيَّرَ, to change something, to transform something, to cause it to become, to be or become something else. In this meaning of جَعَلَ, تَنْصِبُ مَفْعُولَيْنْ أَصْلُهُمَا مُبْتَدَأٌ وَخَبَرٌ. Yani it makes, it. Yani this meaning of جَعَلَ makes two objects mansub, tansibu maf'ulain. It makes two objects mansub, asluhuma, whose origin, the origin of those two objects is a mubtada and a khabar. So, yani, the meaning of ja'ala from the meanings of tahwil or sayyara, yani, is when that verb is going to make two objects mansub, and those two objects originally were a mubtada and a khabar, a jumla ismiya. When yani ja'ala came, it made them its objects and it made both of them mansub. So the example he gives us here is the jumla ismiya mubtada and khabar, al-khamru haramun. This is a jumla ismiya, yani originally a mubtada and khabar. Al-khamru mubtada marfoon with dhamma, haramun khabarun marfoon with dhamma. Now when we use ja'ala, it takes both of them and makes them its two objects, and both of them became mansub. Ja'ala Allahu al-khamra harama. Allah made al-khamr, He made intoxicants haram. So these two objects, Yani the meaning of ja'ala here, and having the meaning of sayyara, to cause something, to change its condition, to become something else. Yani it is going to have two objects, those two objects originally being a mubtada and a khabar. Very important that those two objects are originally a mubtada and a khabar. Asluhuma mubtada'un wa khabarun. Like al-khamru haramun. Mubtada and khabar, they became the two objects of ja'ala Allahu. Al-khamra mansub with fatta, haraman mansub with fatta. Turn to page 218. Wa fit tanzil, and then they give us these three examples in the revelation in the Quran. And in the first one from Surah An-Nuh, 71st Surah, 15 and 16th ayat, Ba'da a'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. And again, this is the meaning of tahweel or sayyara, to change something, to transform it, yani to become something else. Alam taraw kayfa khalaqa Allahu sab'a samawatin tibaqa. Yani, do you all not see how Allah created seven heavens, tibaqa, one above another, yani in layers or levels, one above another. Waja'ala, and this is the shahid here, waja'ala al-qamara fihinna nuran, and he made the moon in those seven heavens a light. Here, yani, the two objects is ja'ala al-qamara mansub with fatta, and nura mansub with fatta. Yani that he made the moon in those seven heavens light. So these are two objects being made mansub, which are originally a mubtada and khabar. The original sentence would have been the mubtada and khabar, al-qamaru nurun. Al-qamaru nurun became ja'ala al-qamara fihinna nuran. Wa ja'ala shamsa sirajan, same thing here. Yani, and he made the sun as a lamp. Yani, a shining lamp. Again, the original sentence would have been mubtada and khabar, ash-shamsu sirajun. But here after ja'ala, it made both of them its objects and both of them mansub. Wa ja'ala ash-shamsa mansub, sirajan mansub. The second example, wallahu ja'ala lakum al-arda bisatan. And Allah made for you the earth to be a wide expanse. Bisatan, he spread it out. This is also Surah An-Nuh, yani 71st Surah, 19th ayat. Wa ja'ala lakum al-arda is the first object, mansub with fatta. And bisatan is the second, maf'ul, mansub with fatta. The original sentence, mubtada and khabar, would have been al-ardu bisatun. The earth is, yani, spread out. Number three, walau sha'a Allahu la ja'ala an-nasa ummatan wahidatan. Surah Yunus, 10th surah. I'm not really sure. I think there's some misunderstanding here. It says Surah Yunus 118, but it seems as though it's in Surah Hud 118. Surah Hud 118, or it could be yani Surah Shura as well. Anyway, I have to go back and check again. I see I made a note here that it's not in Yunus 118, but it is in Hud 118, and it's in Surah Shura also. Now, the meaning of the ayat, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَجَعْلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. That if Allah had willed, He would have made the people one ummah. So here, and I think also in one of these references, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ, instead of Allah, it came, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. In any case, what is important here is ja'ala and nasa is the first object, and ummatan is the second object, and wahidatan is a not describing ummah. Yani, the original sentence, mubtada and khabar, could be an-nasu ummatun wahidatun. He made the people one. Yani, if he had willed, he could have made the people one ummah. Yani, two objects, both of them originally a mubtada and a khabar. Okay, this is the first meaning of the word, the verb ja'ala, meaning sayyara, the meaning of tahwil, changing something from one condition to another. The second meaning, وَتَأْتِي ja'ala bima'na dhanna. And it also comes with the meaning of dhanna. The meaning of dhanna meaning to think, to deem, to consider something to be a certain way, but not being certain about it. وَهِيَ مِنْ أَفْعَال الرجحان. It's from the verbs of rujhan, yani where, yani there is some considering something to be a certain way, considered it like this, but not necessarily being certain. They gave us one example here. وَجَعَلُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنَاثًا. And they made the angels, yani they considered, they deemed, they thought, they considered the angels who they are worshippers of Ar-Rahman, they considered them to be females. Yani that's how they thought, that's how they deemed it to be, that's what they considered it to be. Naam. And this is the same example that they gave, yani in the English key, that they considered the angels who are the worshippers of Ar-Rahman to be females. This is Surah Zukhruf, 43rd Surah, 19th Ayat. Here, the note that comes here says, جَعَلَ بِهَذَيْنِ الْمَعَنَيَيْنِ مِنْ أَخَوَاتُ ظَنَّ. Yani, جَعَلَ, with these two meanings, yani the first meaning of tahwil and the second meaning of rujhan, thinking, deeming something to be a certain way, these two meanings, yani جَعَلَ, with these two meanings, is from أَخَوَاتُ ظَنَّ. From akhawatu dhanna, meaning that they take two objects which are originally a mubtada and a khabar. That's the meaning of min akhawatu dhanna. Dhanna is a verb that takes two objects, makes them both maf'ul, though they were originally a mubtada and a khabar. It makes them its objects and it makes them mansoob. So both of these two meanings have this action that they take two objects, make them both mansoob, though they were originally mubtada and khabar, min akhawatu dhanna. In the English key, actually, they gave another example for rujhan. They said, aja'altani mudiran. Have you made me, considered me, thought me to be a headmaster? That is, do you think I am the headmaster? So this is the meaning of rujhan. And in this case, yani again, it's taking two objects, both of which are originally mubtada and khabar. Okay, the third meaning that they give here, and in the English key they gave them in the reverse order. Yani in the English key they gave the third and fourth. Here they're giving fourth and third in the opposite order, the last two. It says the meaning of to begin. وَتَكُونُ أَيْضًا مِنْ أَفْعَالَ الشُّرُوعِ. Yani جَعْلَ also may be from the verbs of الشُّرُوعِ. Yani afal shuru means verbs that have the meaning of to begin to do something, like bada'a. He began to do something. So ja'ala also has the same meaning as bada'a, to start or to begin to do something. Wa ta'malu hina idhin amal kana. And in this case, with the meaning of shuru, yani to begin to do something, it acts like kana. Yani acts like kana means that it takes a ism and a khabar, just like kana has a ismu kana and khabaru kana. So likewise, ja'ala, if it has the meaning of shuru' or to begin to do something, then it's going to have a ism, yani ja'ala, and a khabaru ja'ala, like kana, except that here, with ja'ala, when it has this meaning, the meaning of to begin to do something, its khabar is going to be a jumla fi'liya. And the fi'l of that jumla is going to be a mudari verb. Okay, so unlike kana, the khabar here is only going to be a jumla fi'liya and its verb is going to be a mudari verb. Alright, so it's like kana in that it has an ism and it has a khabar, but its khabar is going to be a jumla ismiya, that's a mudari verb. Okay, the example they gave us here is ja'ala hamidun yadrabuni. Ja'ala hamidun yadrabuni. Yani, that hamid began to hit me. So here we see that ja'ala, like kana, has an ism. Ism ja'ala is hamidun marfu'un with dhamma, but the khabar of ja'ala here is a jumla fi'liya whose fi'l is a mudari verb, yadribuni. And it says here, وَقَدْ مَرَّتْ بِكَ فِي الدَّرْسِ السَّابِقِ. And this discussion of ja'ala, like being like kana, except that his khabar is a jumla fi'liya whose fi'l is a mudari verb, have passed us by in the previous lesson. And this is pretty much the same meaning that they gave in the English key, that it acts like kana, it has an ism and a khabar, except that its khabar is going to be a verbal sentence, the verb being a mudari verb, and then they said that hamid is its ism and yadrubuni is its khabar. Tayyib, the last meaning that they gave for ja'ala The last meaning they gave for ja'ala is وَتَأْتِ بِمَانَ أَوْجَدَ. Yani on page 218, we're continuing, it says the fourth meaning of ja'ala is أَوْجَدَ, yani to bring something into existence, to make something, to create something. Okay, to bring it into existence. وَتَأْتِ بِمَانَ أَوْجَدَ, to originate something or to bring it into existence. وَهِيَ فِعْلٌ تَامٌ. And this is not mentioned in the English key, that the verb ja'ala, when it has the meaning of awjada, to bring something into existence, it's a fi'l tam. Fi'l tam means it just requires to have a ism. It doesn't require ism and a khabar. It just requires to have a fa'il to yani be the yani to do the action. It just requires a fa'il, a marfu, ism marfu, and it doesn't require ism and a khabar. So we had this discussion, fi'l tam and fi'l naqis. Fi'l naqis requires an ism and a khabar. Fi'l tam doesn't require a khabar. So here in this meaning, the meaning of ja'ala as awjada, to originate something, to bring it into existence, it's a fi'l tam. Tansibu maf'ulan wahidan. And it only takes one maf'ul. And by the way, the previous one, number three, yani the ja'ala, when it has the meaning to start or to begin something, also, it only has one maf'ul. It only has one maf'ul. Unlike the first two meanings that have two maf'uls that are originally a mubtada and a khabar, here the meaning to begin to do something or the meaning to originate or to bring something into existence only has one maf'ul. Tansibu maf'ulan wahidan. Kama fi qawlihi ta'ala, as in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, first ayat, Alhamdulillah. الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَجَعَلَ, and this is the shahid, وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورَ. And alhamdulillah, praise belongs to Allah, the one who created the heavens and the earth. Who created the heavens and the earth. وَجَعَلَ, and he made, or he brought into existence, الظُّلُمَاتِ, darkness, and النُّور, light. The meaning of جَعَلَ here, أوجد, to bring something into existence, to originate something, yani to make, he made the darkness and he made the light. He originated darkness and light. Here, the verb جعل has only one object. And the object of it here is الظلمات. As far as النور, it's معتوف on ظلمات. Yani that he made the darkness and he also made the light. These are not two objects that are originally a mubtada and a khabar. This is one object, and then there's another word that is connected to it by waw al-atif. Okay, so these are not two objects, like in the first two cases of the meaning of ja'ala, they have two objects. The origin of those two objects is mubtada and khabar. Here, these are not a mubtada and a khabar. This is not a dhulumat nur. Yani the mubtada and a khabar has to be a sentence. You cannot make a sentence with these two words, a dhulumat nur. But rather, these are two separate things. Both of them have been brought into existence. Okay, so originally, this sentence is وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ. And you may also say وَجَعَلَ النُّورِ. So it only has one object. What we're really saying, waw al-atif is just saying that جَعَلَ is being repeated again. وَجَعَلَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَجَعَلَ النُّورَ. And here in this sentence, الظُّلُمَاتِ is a sound feminine plural. So even though it's the object of ja'ala and it's mansub, the sign of it being mansub is kasra instead of fatha, and that's the secondary sign for the sound feminine plural, whereas nur has the normal sign of mansub fatha. Alright, so the point here is that this example is an example of ja'ala being used with the meaning of to bring something into existence, to originate it, to make it. And he made the darkness and he also made the light. Alright, these are the four types or the four meanings of ja'ala, and then they give us four sentences and we have to identify which one of the four meanings is in each of these sentences. Which one of the four meanings is for each one of these sentences? Okay, so the first one, ja'ala al-mudarrisu yashrahu ad-darsa. The teacher began to explain the lesson. Yani this is the meaning of a shuru, to begin. Yani in which case it acts like kana. Has a yani ism and a khabar. Except that the khabar is a jumla fi'liya. يَشْرَهُ الدَّرْسَ. Number two, وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلًا, and we made you all into nations and tribes. Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th Surah, 13th Ayah. Yani the meaning here is the meaning of yani tahwil, to transform something from one condition to another, or the meaning of sayyara. And we made you all into nations and tribes. You were individual people, we made you into nations and tribes. Two objects, the origin of those two objects is mubtada and khabar. Yani the mubtada here would be kum, yani antum shu'uban wa antum qabail. Ja'alakum is the first object, and shu'uban is the second object, and qabail is ma'tuf on shu'uban. Number three, ja'alallahu al-hawa'a wal-ma'a. Allah made the air and the water. Here the meaning of ja'ala is awjada, to bring it into existence, to originate it. Allah brought into existence air, and ja'alallahu hawa'an wa ja'alallahu al-ma'a. Yani one object, meaning to originate. And the fourth one, قَالَ الْمُدَرِّسُ لِلْطَالِبِ, the teacher said to the student, أَجَعَلْتَنِي مُدِيرًا, have you made me into a mudir? Yani did you consider or think that I am the principal, that I am a principal? This is the meaning of الرجحان or ظن. Did you think, to deem or to consider something to be some way without being certain about it. Number 10 is قَفَايَا. The word قَفَايَا, yani the original word is qafa, and then we have ya al-mutakallim. It says ya'u al-mutakallimu maftuhatun ma ismin akhiruhu alifun aw ya'un sakinatani. Yani that ya al-mutakallim, like you say kitabi or babi or bayti, that ya al-mutakallim takes fatha, it's maftuha, when it is connected to a noun whose ending is alif sakina or ya sakina. Alifun or ya sakinatain. Sakinatain. Yani if the word ends with alif with sukoon or ya with sukoon, then ya al mutakallam, if it follows it, is going to take fatha. For example, asaya. Asaya, my stick. Yani asa ends with alif with sukoon, so the ya that indicates possession, my, yani my stick, ya al mutakallam is going to take fatha here. Fataya, yani fata is a youth. So here it ends with alif with sukoon, so ya, yani the ya al-mutakallam takes fata. Dunyaya, yani dunya ends with alif with sukoon, so the ya al-mutakallam takes fata, yani my dunya. Yadaya, my two hands, yani yada ends with alif with sukoon, so the ya al-mutakallam takes fata. Yani yadaya is originally yadani, two hands, but when it became an idafa, it loses the noon, so it became, instead of yadan, it became yada with ya al-mutakallam, yadaya. And ghasaltu yadayya, I washed my two hands originally, yadayya is yadain, I washed two hands, but when it's connected in idafa to ya al-mutakallam, it loses the noon, so it became yaday with ya with sukoon, followed by ya al-mutakallam, which has to take, in that case, fatha. Yani, a word that ends with alif with sukoon, as in asa, or fata, or dunya, or yada, yani, or it ends with ya with sukoon, like yadayi, which is originally yadain, when the word ends with alif with sukoon, or ya with sukoon, if it is connected in idafa to ya al-mutakallam, in that case, takes fatha instead of sukoon. Turn to page 219, exercise number 11, Tamreen Shafawi. This is the oral exercise. Yas'alu kullu talibin zamilahu. Every student asks his classmate, one of his classmates, mata istayqadhta, when did you wake up? Wa man ayqadhaka, and who woke you up? Two questions. Each student, this is the oral exercise, each student, this is for practice in speaking and using, yani these words, istayqadha, who, yani istayqadha, to wake up, and ayqadha means to wake somebody up. So the first question, for example, would be, the answer would be, mata istayqadhta, istayqadhtu asa'ata al-khamisa, I woke up at 5 o'clock. Wa man ayqadhaka, and who awakened you? Ayqadhani zamili, yani my classmate awakened me. Number 12, هاتي مضاري الأفعال الآتية. Give the present tense form of the following verbs. غلبة to overcome. يغلب with كسرة. حبط to descend or to land. يهبط with كسرة. كسى to clothe, to put on clothing. يقسو, يعني its مضاري is يقسو. كسى يقسو. أفطر to يعني break fast. Its مضاري يفطر. أسر, which means to make happy or to whisper to someone. Its مضاري يسر. أقرض, which means to loan or to lend someone something. Its مضاري يقرض. اقترض, اقترض means to borrow from someone. Its مضاري is يقترض. نعم. Number 13, اذكر أبواب الأفعال الواردة في حديث أبي ذر. Okay, mention the أبواب of the أفعال that are mentioned in the hadith of أبي ذر. And this is on pages 211 and 212. So we got to go back to the Arabic text dialogue on page 211 and look at the hadith of أبي ذر. And just quickly look at the verbs and their abwab, which bab they belong to. Okay, so if you go to page 211, halfway down the page, where it says Marwan, and it's like the last six or seven lines, says Marwan, we then just look at the verbs and which bab they come from. An Abi Dhar, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fima rawa. Rawa, yani, it's from the bab, rawa, yarwi, fa'ala, yaf'ilu. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, both of them are from the bab, tafa'ala. يا عبادي إني حرمت, حرمت is from the bab حرم, حرم يعني فعل. جعلته, جعلته is from the bab فعل يفعل, فتح فتح. And the next line, فلا تظالموا, تظالموا is from the bab تفعل. In the next line, يعني هديته, من هديته, إلا من هديته, from هدى يهدي, فعل يفعل. فاستهدوني is from the bab يعني استفعل. أهدكم is from the bab يعني هدى يهدي يعني فعل يفعل. In the next line, أطعمته is from the bab أفعل يعني أطعم. فاستطعموني is from the bab استفعل في الأمر. In the next line, أطعمكم is from the bab يعني أفعل. أطعم يطعم from the bab أفعل. In the next line, كسوته is from كسى يكسو from the bab فعل يفعل. فاستقسوني is from the bab استفعل في الأمر. In the last line, أقسكم, the last line of this page, is from كسى يكسو from باب فعل يفعل. The last, the top of the page 212, يعني the hadith ends here, it says تخطئون from the باب أفعل يعني أقطع يخطئ. And then down further, أنا أغفر from the باب from فعل from غفر, غفر يغفر يعني باب فعل يفعل. And the next line, فاستغفروني from the bab استفعل. أغفر is from فعل يفعل يعني غفر يغفر, وأغفر يعني باب فعل يفعل. أن رواه is from روى يروي, باب فعل يفعل. Okay, going back to the exercises on page 219, exercise number 14, هاتي مفرد. Give the singular form of حوائج, حاجة with تاء مربوطة. وشرطة, its singular is شرطي with شدة on the يا. وجمع القفا, the plural of القفا is أقفية with تاء مربوطة. Number 15, ما أصل تظالموا في قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام فلا تظالموا, يعني the origin of تظالموا is فلا تظالموا, فلا تتظالموا with an extra ta that is permissible to be omitted when we studied that bab, يعني فعل tafa'ala. 16 says, yujma arin ala uratin, ala wazn fu'alatin. Yani, that the word arin, being naked, is, and its plural is uratin, and its pattern is fu'alatin. The first radical taking dhamma, second radical taking fatta, third radical taking fatta, and then added to it ta marbuta, fu'alat. Yani, in my book, it looks like it has fu'alahin, but it should be fu'alatin. Fu'alatin. So then it says ijma, yani make the plurals. Ijma al asma al atiya, make the plurals of the following nouns. Hadha al jam, this same gem. So ma shin, its plural is mushatun, yani a pedestrian. Qadin, a judge. Qudatun. Hadin, a guide. Hudatun. Ramin, a thrower or an archer. Rumatun. Walin, a ruler. Wulatun. Ghazin, yani one who fights in the battle. Ghuzatun. Hafin, one who is barefooted. Hufatun. And finally, is just a quick review of the four particles that are the particles of nasb. The four particles that are particles of nasb. And we have covered them, yani, in the quick review in the beginning of the lesson, and we also saw them in the exercises today, or at least we saw K and we saw Ethan and N and Len we had before. So Nawasib al-fi'l al-mudari arba'atu ahruf, yani the things that make the mudari verb mansub are four particles. Here, number one, N, number two, Len, number three, K, and number four, Ethan. N, وَهِيَ حَرْفُ مَصْدَرِيَّةٍ, an infinitive particle. وَنَصْبٍ, it makes the mudari verb mansub. وَاسْتِقْبَالٍ, and it has the meaning of future. For example, وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ, Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 27th Ayat. And Allah intends to, yani, accept, to turn to you and accept your repentance. يَتُوبُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Number two, لَنْ وَهِيَ حَرْفُ نَفْيٍ, it is a particle of negation. وَنَسْبٍ وَاسْتِقْبَالٍ, it makes the mudari verb mansub, and it has the meaning of future. For example, قَالَ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبَرًا, Surah Al-Kahf, 18th Surah, 67th Ayat. And he said, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ, yani he said to Musa alayhi salam, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ, you will not be able to be patient with me. The third one is K, وَهِيَ حَرْفُ مَصْدَرِيَّةٍ, and it is also an infinitive particle. وَنَصْبٍ وَاسْتِقْبَالٍ, it makes the mudari verb mansub, and it has the meaning of future. For example, K, نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا, so that we can glorify you, so that we may glorify you كَثِيرًا, a lot. Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 33rd Ayat. And the last one, إِذَن, number four, إِذَن, وَهِيَ حَرْفُ جَوَابٍ وَجَزَاءٍ, so it is a particle of reply, yani to answer or to reply or to respond to someone. وَنَصْبٍ وَاسْتِقْبَالٍ, and it makes the mudari verb mansub, and it also has the indication of future meaning, as in Hamidun saying سَأَزُورُكَ, in my book it doesn't have a ra after the waw, سَأَزُورُكَ غَدًا inshallah. So I will visit you tomorrow, inshallah. Khalid answers by saying, he replies, yani, إِذَنْ أَنْتَظِرَكَ, إِذَنْ أَنْتَظِرَكَ, in that case, I will wait for you. Naam, in that case, I will wait for you. So this is the end of what we wanted to cover, and this is also the end of our time. And next week, بإذن الله تعالى, we'll be going to a new lesson, lesson 26, which is very, very important lesson, completely new from what we had before. We have been studying for the last few months, yani the thulathi mazid verbs. Now we're going to look at the fi'l al-ruba'i, and a lot of other points besides that. There are 9 points in this lesson. The core of the lesson is the fi'l al-ruba'i, yani the quadriliteral verbs, and its various, yani, babs of mazid, 3 of them, and their forms, past tense, present tense, and so on. And then there are a lot of other points in this lesson, inshallah. Yani, you can go today. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. You can go right ahead and look at lesson number 26. At least read the English key, even if you don't go any further than that. And I'll be sending out the homework. And we might have one whole session just for the English key. Perhaps this coming week will only be the English key. If you want to go further and read the dialogue, that's excellent. But at least the English key, you can start reading tomorrow. And probably that will be most of the week. That will be our homework for most of the week. And Allah knows best. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that we do it in accordance with the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah, yani recognize, reward, and record our good deeds, pardon and forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, yani firmness, steadfastness upon a sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him, yani until we leave this world and return to Allah in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant a complete and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and may He, yani, shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, fill their graves with light, make them spacious, and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.